Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM. This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. Title 42, the Trump administration policy that banned many migrants during the pandemic, is due to expire on Wednesday. Texas Governor Greg Abbott on ABC's This Week does not want that to happen.
Whether it's COVID or some other issue, when you got people coming across the globe without knowing at all what their health status is, that almost by definition is a public health risk. There's every reason to keep that in place.
Texas Democratic Congressman Henry Cuellar says if Title 42 is allowed to expire, Republicans must have a strategy to deal with the influx of migrants.
If it goes away, they have to have a policy of an early pathway to asylum through our bridges. And if they don't follow that pathway, they need to go back. You know, they got to have something in place.
Cuellar was interviewed on CBS's Face the Nation. That is the sound of pure elation from soccer fans in Argentina after their team beat France in the World Cup. The trophy was earned in Doha after Argentina won the shootout 4-2. Ben Jacobs with CBS Sports describes the scene.
Lionel Messi lifts the trophy for the very first time. The one crown jewel in his glittering career that was missing now takes center stage. And what a final of drama and intensity we were treated to.
The January 6th committee expected to vote tomorrow to recommend criminal charges against former President Trump. Adam Schiff, who serves on the committee, tells CNN the rare charge of insurrection may be included.
If you can prove that someone incited an insurrection, that is, they incited violence against the government, or they gave aid and comfort to those who did, that violates that law. And if you look at Donald Trump's acts and you match them up against the statute, it's a pretty good match.
Some Starbucks workers across the country have been on strike since Friday. Unionized stores decided to strike for up to 3 days. KYW's Nina Baratti is in Philadelphia.
About 100 of the company's coffee shops nationwide were shut down at some point since Friday. Workers who are under the Starbucks Workers United Union are asking for a fair contract.
Better staffing, better pay, benefits. A big one is staffing for me.
Sarah Shields works as a barista at 20th and Market. She explains not every Starbucks store has decided to unionize, but for some who have, Sarah alleges are being treated differently.
That's Pope Francis addressing thousands of the faithful, asking for prayers to end the war in Ukraine for the sake of the suffering people. His comments also come ahead of the beginning of Hanukkah at sundown. This is CBS News.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can.
There's still time for business owners to claim their federal aid under the Employee Retention Tax Credit Program. Cash refunds of up to $26,000 per employee are available for employers who continue to pay their employees during the COVID epidemic. You can claim the credit even if you received a PPP loan. The licensed CPAs and tax professionals at Ferguson Teamar and Associates have been serving business owners across the country for over 15 years. Our tax credit specialists are available now at 833-ERC-FILE. That's 833-ERC-FILE.
Are you more than $10,000 in debt? Feel like you're on a never-ending treadmill, staying in one place and never getting ahead with those minimum payments? You feel like there's no way out? Get off the endless debt treadmill and start saving money each month. There are programs in place to help you get free of your debt and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. The program at Total Financial Freedom can help you get debt-free in months instead of decades. Call Total Financial now at 800-208-1312. 800-208-1312.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Lows level off around zero. Tonight, under overcast skies, winds out of the west, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again. Tomorrow, chance of snow showers. Highs level off around 21. Snow likely again. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 10 above. Cloudy skies expected. 1 to 2 inches of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
Currently, it's 10 above.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
At 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. And how old must you be to remember Heckle and Jekyll?
Connor, do you know who Heckle and Jekyll are?
No idea.
No, not anyone. He won't know.
No, I know.
Heckle and Jekyll?
Yeah,
Heckle. You mean Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde?
No. These were cartoon comic book birds.
As cerebral as Sandy is, he remembers Heckle and Jekyll. Wow.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's go to the phone lines and Cassandra. Hey, Cassandra, how you doing? I know you don't remember Heckle and Jekyll.
No, I don't.
It was when television was all in black and white.
Oh, okay. I want to talk to Sandy and get his input on the Sam Bankman-Fried scandal with FTX. And I am really disappointed with the media coverage of this scandal where this young group of college students who were highly untrained and inexperienced in managing billions of dollars of people's life savings. And there is a connection to the Democratic Party. Sam Bankman-Fried, he made donations to many Democratic Party candidates during 2022. This young man and his group, they should be in jail. But not only that, the financial managers of many of these companies should also be prosecuted for not practicing due diligence on behalf of their fiduciary clients. So, I am just very disappointed in the coverage. And, I'll take my answer off.
No, hang on.
Sure. Wait a minute, yeah. Cassandra. What about, you want to connect the dots between Sam Bankman-Fried, a young guy and who had thought he had billions of dollars and maybe did and gave millions of dollars in the political direction he wanted to give it. How about Sam Edelson and the criminal conduct there, and a remarkably huge Republican contributor? I mean, the fact that someone gives money politically, and the fact that they might be involved in activity in the financial markets that cost people a lot of money. There was, of course, the Ken Lay and Enron. I knew lots about Enron, and I know a fair amount about FTX. And the question of whether there was criminal conduct there will be resolved and will be found out. They are being chased. The fact is that right now Sam Bankman-Fried is getting lots of publicity because he's out there in the publicity market trying to, I guess, avoid going to jail on the basis of criminal fraud. But you know, you've jumped the track here. You're basically saying that these people aren't already in jail, and so therefore it's somehow connected to political donations that Sam Bankman-Fried gave. But there's been no connecting of those dots. Number one. Number two, the fraud has been recently uncovered, and it was the result, basically, of a lot of greedy people wanting to jump into cryptocurrencies. It's not like cryptocurrencies weren't understood to be a highly risky investment, number one. Number two, the main fraud that's involved here involves the fraud between Alameda, or a potential fraud between Alameda, a company otherwise owned by Sam Bankman-Fried as well, and FTX. Those connections have been recently uncovered, and they've been uncovered as the result of actual activity on the part of the government. So you're trying to connect the dot simply by saying this guy gave money, and he seems to be a bad hombre from the standpoint of the financial markets and the way he handled his business, and some kind of political shenanigans. And that last connection of the dots isn't currently, at least, something you could correctly draw that inference. But there's no question that FTX is going to get examined and going to be pursued in the same manner that Enron was. And, you know, Enron was occurred in 2001 during the time of a Republican administration, was examined by all kinds of processes, ended up with just a couple of criminal indictments and prosecutions. And the same is true from the financial collapse in 2008. The fact is that these financial activities and these things that seem to be fraudulent might be civilly fraudulent, but it's much harder to prove criminal conduct. And so, you know, you can jump to the conclusion on a naive basis that these people committed crimes and should be in jail, but that's without any knowledge and without any facts.
You know what, Sandy, I respectfully disagree. If you look at the pedigree of the individuals who were in control of Alameda, Sam Bankman-Fried graduated from MIT. Both of his parents were highly involved in the Democratic Party. His mother ran a PAC, which raised money for the Democratic Party. His father was a professor at one of the Ivy League schools. I think it was Stanford.
Just one second. Okay.
The CEO of Alameda, Caroline Ellison, she is related in some way or connected to an individual with the Security and Exchange Commission. So there were conflicts of interest all over the place. And if these two individuals had graduated from a state school, if they were not connected to highly privileged individuals, they would be in jail right now. And that is just all I'm saying. There's just two forms of justice. And I really have to say that this really is going to stink for the Democratic Party, because it's in their garden, you know. So I will listen off the air, but this thing stinks to high heaven.
Let's just unbundle all of that. You can connect a lot of dots about political activity on the parts of people. You know, lots of people are politically involved, and God help us, we should all be more politically involved. Sam Bankman-Fried did go to MIT. I'm not sure what that suggests, other than the fact that he was a bright kid. He also is still a kid. He's a young guy. He got into business and was backed by the financial industry. He wasn't backed by a political party. And he got all kinds of people to invest in his business. And his business grew exponentially as the result, basically, of the willingness of people to jump into risky investments in cryptocurrencies. Ken Lay didn't go to prison. He died before he could, but he didn't go to an Ivy League school. I'm not sure what this connection is, and incidentally, Stanford isn't an Ivy League school. This is what's wrong in today's world. People want to lay out and create conspiracies by creating a bunch of dots, which they then want everyone to connect. I mean, that's not all the way to QAnon, Cassandra, but that is the way QAnon conspiracies operate. You state a bunch of things that might be factually correct, and then those factually correct statements are a bunch of polka dots that are supposed to be connected in everyone's mind to some kind of a conspiracy. Like, no one has ever explained how it is that FTX is the result of some political privilege that they obtained, number one. Number two, I don't know how people get in jail as quickly as you would suggest they should, since it takes years to convict even someone like the fellow who drove the car into the parade here in Waukesha. People don't go to jail immediately, and crimes don't get uncovered immediately. And FTX is a very young phenomena. It's only a couple of years old.
You know, I want to move to the Supreme Court taking up the clash of religion and gay rights. Another one of those real difficult conversations that the Supreme Court is getting ready to take up. And so the Supreme Court is hearing the case today, Monday, of a Christian graphic artist who objects to designing wedding websites for gay couples, a dispute that's the latest clash of religion and gay rights to land at the highest court. The designer and her supporters say that ruling against her would force artists, from painters and photographers to writers and musicians, to do work that is against their faith. Her opponents, meanwhile, say that if she wins, a range of businesses will be able to discriminate, refusing to serve black customers, Jewish and Muslim people, interracial or interfaith couples, or immigrants, among others. The case also comes at a time when the court is dominated 6-3 by conservatives and follows a series of cases in which the justices have sided with religious plaintiffs. We've got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Sandy, I want you to weigh in on that, as I know you will. Got to go to a break. Be right back. Yes, this love, this love, this love, loving you.
The committee investigating the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol is holding what may be its final hearing Monday, December 19th, starting at noon. Listen for special live coverage on your local civic media radio station, then join the conversation as your favorite hosts talk about the hearing, the final report, and what it all means to you. It's insight you won't find anywhere else. Tune in on Monday, December 19th at noon to your local civic media radio station, also streaming on the Civic Media app.
Join Max Inc. Radio this New Year's Eve as we present live at thespaceship.tv. Max Inc. Radio will broadcast live from the spaceship.tv studios 6 p.m. to midnight, plus live performances from the Civil Engineers. Linda and the Zeros. Porky's Groove Machine.
The Spice Girls. Muy caliente.
Oh, they're not hitting.
Live streaming video at thespaceship.tv and live on this civic media station. Let's party New Year's Eve starting at 6 p.m. live from thespaceship.tv. Happy New Year's from Civic Media and Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
Thursdays at 11:30, we are joined by Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who is a psychologist, a lecturer, and additionally, he's won 10,000 fantasy football leagues and loves to help people make easy, free money. Dr. Mike fixes your life and your lineup.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
The Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789, Texas, that same number. The Supreme Court today is hearing a case of a Christian graphic artist who objects to designing wedding websites for gay couples. And so, Sandy, I guess you and I had discussion off the air about this. So people have a right, First Amendment. We talked about the First Amendment last week and what that means. And in this case, what are your thoughts?
Well, like I said, the First Amendment relates to public restrictions on conduct. And then this is a statute that basically says if you're open to the public, then you can't exclude the public for invidious reasons. That's, you know, so if you're a Boston store and you're open to the public, you can't say everyone can shop here at the Boston store, but not Muslims. That would not be permitted and under that kind of a law. But let's say you're an interior decorator and you only have time for 8 clients. And a client, someone comes to you and says, I want you to decorate my house. Well, as an interior decorator, you're probably free to pick and choose whose house you decide to decorate and want to work on because you only got time to work for 7 or 8 people at once. And so is the government going to be able to get in and check inside your brain and figure out why it is you're turning down the work from this or that person who wants you to decorate their house? And the answer to that is probably no. If that case went to the Supreme Court would probably say, well, if you're an interior decorator, you know, only can work for 6 people, yeah, you're basically a business, but you're not really open to the general public. You're open to the public that you decide to work with for whatever reasons as an artist you decide to work with them. And so this case is somewhere in between that, because this person is somewhat like an interior decorator. They do website production.
Yeah,
they,
but Sandy, when they can probably that it's against my religious beliefs, does that change the dynamic?
Well, no, I don't. Well, if you Let's say let's say you're the person doing the work, and you've only got time to work with four people. You've decided that because you're going to spend so much time with each of these four people, you want this person to be someone that you're comfortable with, that you want to work with, that you want to become friends with. It's a very personal choice, and you've got all kinds of reasons in your head why you'd pick the four clients that you're willing to work with. The point is, the government's going to have a hard time getting in your brain and deciding. Now, I suppose if you tell the person, I won't work with you because you're transsexual, that might be different. And that's what the Supreme Court, I guess, is going to now take up, is this question of, if you're one of these people who's not really open to the general public, you're open to a public that you pick and choose because you only have the time to work with, you know, six or seven members of the public, are you free to choose who you work with for any reason whatsoever? And so it's a different case than the Boston store saying no Muslims. This is more of a private decision-making process. And I guess the question is going to, from the Supreme Court standpoint, is going to be, can the state government impose a requirement that you provide service to all members of the public, regardless of the scale of your business or how personal your business representation is? A lawyer is not required to take on any piece of law business that comes in the door.
But, Sandy, doesn't the fact that she added the caveat against my religious beliefs, does that add something additional to the discussion? I mean, has she not said that? Then nobody would ever know. But right. Once you say it's against my religious beliefs, now you've kind of opened up Pandora's box.
That's right. And that's what the Supreme Court's going to take up. They're going to decide, and this case is being teed up for them for that very reason. And this person decided to announce why they wouldn't take the business on for the very purpose of creating a test case, right? Because
right.
They could just as easily have turned down the work without reciting a reason. End of problem as far as judicial intervention is concerned.
And that's kind of what has now brought it to this position where they have to now determine, you know, whether or not what she said, you know, and that's her personally.
Mm-hmm.
But yet the decision can't be determined just based on her, right? And what she said, it's got to be all of those, everybody who falls under that category.
Right, and so I think everyone out there hearing about this case, let's say you're in one of these businesses and you have always operated making personal choices about who your clients are going to be because you can only have four or five or six of them. And when you hear about this case, you're going to be upset about the notion that you can't exercise your judgment freely because somehow there's a state constraint that you must accept any and all comers, regardless of your reason for turning them down. And so that's what they're preying upon, and that's what the Supreme Court might lean on, is this notion, well, we can't really get into people's thinking quite like this. And is a state permitted to essentially invade the thought processes of people when they're making their choices? Because this person has announced they won't do it for religious purposes.
So we know it's in their mind.
We know it's in their mind. But it also, you could develop a case study on somebody and say, this person has never accepted over the 30 years of their professional life, they've never accepted this kind of a person, whatever it is, a black person,
right.
A Muslim person. So therefore, they are exercising this restriction on who it is they'll take for business. And so therefore, they're operating unlawfully. I went to them, they turned me down, and that's why they did it. And this is much like the racial cases we've had to deal with over a long period of time. And the scale of the workplace does make a difference in that circumstance. But ultimately, with race, it comes down to the fact that you really shouldn't use race as a determination of whether you employ someone. But when it comes down to you and me, I'm hiring you to be my child's au pair. And I hire a different au pair every year. What are the restrictions on my ability to choose that au pair?
Listen, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You got to funkify, and I'm telling you right now, you got to funkify.
Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
The Badgers.
Under pressure, down he goes.
The Cowboys.
Tight rope to sideline, to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Live from Chase Field in Phoenix, Arizona.
They win the game. They are bowl eligible, and they keep the Freedom Trophy.
It's the Guaranteed Rate Bowl. Join us Tuesday, December 27th. Our coverage begins at 7 p.m.
Catch all the postseason action right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Need help paying for health care? As a health insurance navigator, my job is to help people find affordable or low-cost options. When you connect with an expert, getting coverage is easy and our help is free. We find the best deals, whether it's from healthcare.gov or state coverage like BadgerCare. And you can reach us in person, phone, text, or online. Honestly, it's like chatting with a friend who knows everything about health insurance. Call the 211 helpline to find an expert near you or go to wiscovered.com. Paid for by Covering Wisconsin.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m., right before the Sunshine Polka Party Show. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
All right, class, let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him at the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Whoa! Awesome!
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah. We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
When I was younger, I may have did some stupid things, even committed some crimes, but I'm not a criminal.
I worked for youth advocate programs, I was Tamani's advocate, helping him stay out of jail, stay in the neighborhood, and get a job.
As a little kid, I experienced trauma and I acted out. Made some mistakes, but I'm not a mistake.
As Jalen's YAP advocate, I'm always here for her.
YAP is a community-based alternative to youth incarceration and neighborhood violence. Youth advocate programs. Learn how at yapinc.org.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Lows level off around 0. Tonight, under overcast skies, winds out of the west 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again. Tomorrow, chance of snow showers. Highs level off around 21. Snow likely again. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 10 above. Cloudy skies expected. 1 to 2 inches of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 10 above.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Monday. That means Mondays with Sandy Williams. And, you know, we're talking about, again, the Supreme Court, again, that is delving into, a conversation about whether or not businesses have a right to do we want to? I guess the argument here is whether or not this is discriminatory or not.
I don't think the argument is whether it's discriminatory. I think the argument is whether the discrimination is lawful in that the government can't restrict choices to be made in the sort of context that is presented by this situation. She's the person who's said they won't do the work has basically publicly announced that they're being discriminatory, and they're saying it's their right to be discriminatory,
right.
and the Supreme Court's going to have to decide whether in a service setting, where there might be some intimacy between the service provider and the customer, whether that's subject to this to the kind of restraints that would be provided that would be properly prescribed by state or federal law on a public provider of goods or services.
So, and at the same time, it's that there'll be those who will say this is taking us back again to a time when people could openly discriminate against people based on their religions, religious beliefs, or their nationality, or whether they're male or female, or whether they're gay. Or...
Yes, to me, what this relates to, I think, is a strategy that has been. It's a legal strategy. Let's send to the Supreme Court the case that is most likely to be ruled in favor of allowing the discrimination, and that case would be the one where there is this intimate relationship between the service provider and the person receiving the service, and there's a limitation on the number of people that can be provided the service by the service provider, and they figure we can maybe win this case. If we win this case, this is the opening wedge, and maybe we can win the next case that involves a less compelling reason for the discrimination, meaning that it's a bigger and wider service provider who's now entitled, a hospital.
So,
but, you know, they've brought these cases on behalf of hospitals. Hospitals don't have to provide abortions, okay? So this is the way legal strategies work. You provide the most compelling case first, and then you see if you can win that opening wedge, can we take that wedge and win the next case?
So Sandy, there's just been an okay of a the Tammy Baldwin the merits thing.
Yes.
And so that just got through, and then now you come back with this. This is kind of saying we're going to push back on it in a different manner. This is another appendage.
Exactly. This is part of a legal. These people have this is a very willful process, very orchestrated, and I don't mean by that necessarily evil. It's just willful, and the strategy is to try and use every available tool to try and elevate the potential for using discrimination with respect to these kinds of things, and now we're talking about same-sex marriage,
right.
and all of the related kind of issues, and like I said, this is an opening wedge case, and it's designed to be the opening wedge to then what would be a succeeding case in which the case would be less compelling, okay? But now they've got a precedent that says, well, it's okay here. Why isn't it okay here?
Tom, you're back. Go ahead. Your thoughts.
I own a small business. It's called Gay and Lesbian Pages.com. I've owned it for 17 years. It is a directory for the LGBTQ+ community. You know what? Don't do business with these people. I mean, who the hell wants to do business with someone that's going to not support our rights in the first place? I know I won't. So I go to my directory and I use businesses that do support LGBTQ plus community.
LGBTQ people who are taking, they're not like you, and they're not saying, I'm going to, you know, go to where people want to accept me. They're challenging.
Well, wait, Tom was, I think, saying that he wanted the opportunity to use discretion as to who he deals with in his business. I was interested in the end of that thought, Tom.
No, I'm open to anybody that wants to support our rights.
Yeah.
So anyone that wants to support LGBTQ plus rights, in fact, most of my clients are actually straight clients. Now, I don't know if because I live in a metropolitan area, you know, such as Los Angeles now, where there's so many choices of places to go, whereas if you talk about smaller, again, rural areas, these people don't have as many places to go to, you know, find a wedding photographer that, you know, takes pictures on the first on a couple's wedding day, or you know, bakes them a cake or whatever. I just feel like this is again the conservatives' way. Now, I will tell you this: when it comes to anything in the public square, then there should absolutely be no discrimination. But when it comes to private business, and this is why Republicans want to privatize everything. But when it comes to private business, I mean, I've seen signs that say we refuse service to anyone for any reason. So, I mean, to me, you know, I'm fine. You don't want my gay money? I won't give you my gay money.
So for instance,
the gay community is pretty rich.
So Tom is pointing out what I am, which is that they have brought this case to the Supreme Court, which is the easiest case for them to win, which is a relatively small private business, which is turning down the business not for an anonymous reason that they hold subconsciously, but rather for an announced purpose. And it's going to be a difficult case for them to lose, actually. I think the Supreme Court is going to have trouble ruling against the petitioner who wants to be able to turn down business. But it's going to be, it's there because it's an opening wedge to try and spread this to broader and broader businesses and finally into the public. And like, that was why I was talking about Boston. Boston store is a common public square. You know, you can't not let people cross the door into a public department store for an invidious reason.
You know, but Boston store, that's a much broader, well, they're no longer in business, but those types of entities,
yeah.
That's different than just a mom and pop store, right? Or is it the same premise?
Well, it's like you get into facts. This is what law school is all about. You end up with professors who keep giving you fact situations, and then you're supposed to take them to logical extremes and figure out how the decision on that fact circumstance plays out in different circumstances. And that's what's being done here. This is like a law school exercise in taking a case to the Supreme Court, thinking that you're giving them the toughest case for you to lose, and then you're going to try and go on and win others going closer to a logical extreme.
Anybody that wants to support the gay and lesbian community with their commerce, go to gayandlesbianpages.com and check us out.
All right, Tom, thank you. You got the commercial in.
There you go.
I mean, at the root of all of that is, he talked about gay and lesbian aspect of it, but, you know, like you stated, Sandy, there could be racial implications as well. And all of those things. So it's a thing that has been an issue over the last 10 or more years, especially about wedding cakes and those kind of things that I guess they're finally going to settle. Maybe it wasn't 10 years ago, but the first I heard of that.
Yeah, it was only just a couple of years ago.
Yeah, a couple of years ago.
Yeah, but, well, these are all troublesome things. What I'm sorry about is that social issues like this have captivated so much time and energy on the part of the Supreme Court, on the part of courts. People worry about who uses what bathroom. You can go to Europe, every bathroom there in many of these countries are open to both sexes, and there just happen to be stalls. And you go into your stall, and whoever is next to you could be whoever is next to you.
Really?
Yes, really. You know, they don't worry anywhere near so much about what might happen. And in fact, if you had co-ed essentially bathrooms everywhere, you could worry far less about the kinds of things that might happen. It's crazy.
And you know what? And there are probably a lot less people being raped in those countries than there are in our country.
Well, I'm just saying that we are captivated by these social issues, and as a result, let me just go back to my old axe to grind. We don't have universal child daycare. We don't have universal health care. Instead, we've got people worrying about stuff like this.
Here's where I want to go. Where is this? I had it here. Here, we'll get it. He'll come. And while I'm looking for this article, Sandy, the GOP seeks to play hardball on annual defense bill. And so you just wonder that the GOP is saying, listen, we don't want to come up with the total that you guys are asking for in the new defense bill. We'll just hold things in their place this year and not add the initial dollars that you guys are asking for. Well, the military is saying, wait a minute. If you are going to leave us where we are, we want you to understand the risk that the American people are going to suffer because you won't give us the money that we need for this coming year. Republican Party is saying, well, wait a minute. We want to think about this, the annual defense authorization bill. That's what they're talking about, where you look at these things and you say, okay, we'll say, yeah, this is what you need. You say you need more additional dollars. Here it is.
Well, let me just prove that I'm a open-minded thinker, because I think the Republicans are absolutely...
I know, I said they're right on this.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we should be examining how we spend $850 billion. We should be auditing what is happening to the $83 billion that we've authorized in various kinds of aid for Ukraine. We should be trying to figure out what's needed to preserve American safety, where it is we should be investing ourselves in the world, and how much we should be investing in this country.
Are they saying it for political reasons because Joe Biden is the president? Did they say that when Donald Trump was the president?
I mean, everything, unfortunately, is political. But if someone's going to say the right thing for the wrong reasons, I'm not going to tell them not to say it.
I agree with you on that.
And I'm not going to say that it shouldn't be done. You know, this is undoubtedly to try and throw some mud at the current administration. But you know what? We have to stop having defense and military be a political third rail that can't be talked about. We have to stop talking about how there has to be absolute unity, lockstep between the parties in supporting everything that gets expended in the name of military and defense. And so, you know what? More power to them.
Well, so Republicans are looking to play hardball with the annual defense authorization bill to combat what they're calling woke military policies, threatening to throw a wrench into efforts to pass the bill by the end of the year.
Okay, so they are doing it for all the goofy reasons that you could imagine. So this is about, like, whether they're going to have transsexual or lesbian people in the military. So they're doing it for all the wrong reasons.
Vaccine mandates.
Yeah. They're doing it for
diversity.
They're doing it for the wrong reasons. But you know what? Let's have them do it, and let's have the Democrats do it for the right reasons, and let's get on with it. Let's roll up our sleeves and examine how we spend our money.
You know, Sandy, you sometimes you laugh and keep them crying because. Yeah. You know, we don't need to keep giving them whatever it is they want. And the response from the military is, oh, whoa, wait a minute. You're punishing us and we're going to be falling behind on things. Wait, come on.
They've lost something like 400 airplanes or something.
Yeah.
They audit. I'm just saying the military... There's no crocodile tears to be shed here, and I know I'm gonna talk to my friends when I get off the radio.
Gotta go to break though. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
The Jell-O program starring Jack Benny.
The Johnson Wax program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Craft Music Hall with Bing Crosby and his distinguished guests for this Christmas Eve.
Be our guests for the WFHR tradition of 30 hours of Christmas. Starting at noon on Christmas Eve, enjoy 30 hours of old-time radio, classic Christmas music, and special broadcasts of the Sunshine Polka Show, Seth Faces the Music, and Director's Cut. Exclusively on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM, it's a Merry Christmas from all of us at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Pride.
Left corner, three in the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes, it counts. And a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP. We're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Cancer can feel like something we can't do anything about, but you can. There are screening tests that can catch cancer early when it may be easier to treat. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, start colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Make you wanna.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967. 2789. It's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. You know, Sandy. I want to finish this up with Ukraine and the aid to Ukraine. Ukraine aid and stealth bombers. Pentagon lays out consequences if Congress can't pass a budget deal by the end of this year. A year-long continuing resolution would hit weapons programs across the board, and internal document says Simi Valley, California Defense Department officials have compiled a list of dire consequences if the military is forced to operate under a one-year stopgap funding bill for the first time in history. From aid to Ukraine to procurement of the new B-21 stealth bomber. Warnings, along with the recent letter from Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin to Congress, reflect increasing alarm in the top ranks of the Pentagon as congressional leaders face the prospect of missing critical deadlines to fund the government through next year. When they say fund the government, they're really talking about the Pentagon. What are your thoughts?
Well, the Pentagon has been able to be immune from audit. It's been immune from tightening up its operations, running a tight ship. That's a military expression, except we don't require that the Defense Department run a tight ship. We don't require that they use Six Sigma kind of lean operations. You know, we pretend that there's no slush in that $850 billion. No fat to be cut. They pretend that. They use every time we have anything that feels like a military emergency any place in the world as an excuse for more money and more funding and more modernization. One of the last modernizations we did was to give them those vaunted fast mini destroyers, some of which were built here in Wisconsin.
Which that are in mothballs.
That are in mothballs after 10 to 12 years in operation. We don't look at all those kind of things and say, wait a minute. Should we be spending billions of dollars, or should we have more oversight? So, you know, I'm hopeful that oversight will occur, that the Democrats will decide also that they should roll up their sleeves, not because the military is implementing woke policies, but because the military and the Pentagon needs to be over. Then we need to have oversight, and we need to rethink what it is that America should be spending of its national treasure for the purpose of preserving American safety.
You know, Sandy, it does not matter. I don't care what sporting entity it is. The military is there, especially football. I mean, they're there. And so you're watching that, and we feel this tear roll down our cheek. And then they fly the
planes.
Yeah, the vaunted group, Blue Angels.
Oh, the Blue Angels,
yeah.
Yes.
And they fly them over, and the American people just melt, right?
Well, they fly over our lakefront for our lakefront festival. You know, the amount of money expended to sort of stir our patriotic...
And they're doing that all over the country.
All over the country. I mean, Milwaukee's definitely not special, right? And so, yeah, this is all part of stirring up sort of the jingo aspect of American society. And we are becoming quite jingoistic. And jingoism translates into spending lots of money on our defense and having a huge portion of our tax dollar going for these purposes, and I simply think that all of us ought to be evaluating this because it's costing us things like child daycare and universal health care are not happening at the same time that we are splurging on military.
So, Sandy, do you think we'll ever come to a point where, as a society, we'll see that and we'll be able to say, whoa, wait a minute. Do you think that will ever come to being? Because if it doesn't, this thing is just going to continue at the rate that it is, eating up more and more.
Well, you know, in the past, after World War I, we had a period of isolationism. Before that, we called it isolationism, which was a pejorative, meaning you guys are putting your heads in the sand. And I don't think moderation requires isolationism. I just think moderation and careful analysis of realities would cause us to realize that we needn't have the level of so-called preparedness, as the military would call it. Our level of preparedness exceeds what could possibly be necessary to preserve American safety.
So this new B-21 stealth bomber that they're talking about, brand new. I think the last time we built stealth bombers, or the first time, maybe 15 years ago. Well, are you telling me that's obsolete?
Well, I'm struck by the notion that we're having bombers when we understand that China and Russia have these hypersonic missiles, which travel faster than we can deal with and presumably will have the range to come to the United States. And presumably, if we got into a situation where we were dropping nuclear bombs, they would be sending hypersonic nuclear missiles that would get there before. So I just don't understand quite what the purpose of these bombers is exactly.
Well, so I read the article, and it stated that the bomb is indetectable, the bombers.
Well, yeah.
That's what they say.
Well, they're indetectable, but they're not hypersonic.
No. So, I mean, you just... And then if you think about that, well, we just built this whole group of them. What happens to those? They're obsolete already?
Well, and how often have they been used
over the period
of their lifetime? You know, I just think that there needs to be more oversight, more clear thinking. You know, we got a picture of this nifty looking bomber. When it's made into plastic models, kids will want to buy them and use glue to put them together and put the decals on them and everything. But yeah.
Well, especially knowing what their purpose is, right?
Yeah.
Are they ever going to use them? Listen, we got to go, Sandy. Thank you very much, as always. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Connor. We got to get out of here. I'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.
Hello?
Man, where are you? I thought you were coming.
I can't. I'm in bed with the flu.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5.